Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and in studio, Little Sammy Levin.
Whoa. I'm here today, finally.
Hey, the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, the makers of TechTool Pro 4, now universal binary cool stuff. Check them out, micromat.com. DVD XDV, the only software you need to pull content off of DVD into Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Studio, iMovie, you name it, pull it off. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, iPod, brand new 160 gigabyte drive for the MacBook Pros and the MacBooks. Cool stuff there. Those guys rock. Check them out, MCETech.com. And our media partners, a popular photography and imaging magazine at popphoto.com, American Photo at AmericanPhoto.com, Creative Pro, the place for creative professionals at CreativePro.com, Mac Update, of course, the place for Macintosh software updates at MacUpdate.com, and the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, PrintingForLess.com. So how are you guys doing today?
Hey, it's doing great out there. How you doing there, Sam?
Oh, my God. It's hot, sweltering outside, but it's cool
It's
here.
Not that hot. I was in Vegas the past couple of days, and it was 113. That's hot, brother. But it was only like 16% humidity.
I know.
So it felt like, you know,
dry
you
heat.
Ever open the oven up to grab something out and you get this
big heat? Blast of air?
Yeah, it's like being in a heat lamp.
That's okay. I've been in the bunker, as they call it. Good old Jeff Bodine used to call it the bunker, the Mac bunker.
We're underground here.
We're underground,
you know?
And having fun with my good buddies.
It's always nice
the
to
Mac
be underground.
Duo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of just so much stuff coming out. WWDC is coming up in about 2 weeks, guys. Two weeks. I can't wait, Scott. We're going to be there for the keynote, and you know, I can't wait to see the what's new.
That's it. We'll all be there, Brad.
It's going to be great.
You're going to be there all week.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there all week. I've been part of the I signed up for the developers conference. I'm going through all of that, and it should be a blast. It's always a fun event, especially this keynote, especially because a lot of rumors are surrounding the keynote and a lot of exciting stuff.
There's a Steve note, so I'm sure it's going to be interesting.
And it's, what is it called? And just one more thing. Wait, there's one more. Remember, he always says one more thing.
You know, that's the thing, too. You know, Apple this week announced their third quarter earnings, their fiscal third quarter that ended July 1st at just $470-something million.
Right.
They beat the street by like 13 cents a share.
And we were talking about that off air one of these days, I think. And we were kind of like looking, all the analysts were sort of downgrading Apple before, and they're, you know, before the earnings would come out, and they were sort of pushing them down. And, and I think we were talking about this, and I said, you know, they really are, they could release a product any time. They obviously have products in the pipeline, and they're just not jumping on it, so they must be okay.
Yeah, but they're also waiting for the right thing.
I mean, how many times have you seen Apple in the past 5 or 6 years have a dud?
Oh, no. I absolutely.
Everything rocks.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that what you'd see is that they are actually, they were able to keep their sales up at a strong clip this last quarter without really releasing any new stuff for the entire quarter. I mean, nothing really substantial other than, of course, the things that came out in the previous quarter, if I'm not mistaken, if that's right. So they're in a very, very strong position.
I think we're going to see some cool things.
But I'm thinking that it's going to be hard to beat the G5 Quad. That's my personal opinion. Maybe they're going to pull something out.
I think
out,
they're going to have something new for
maybe
that.
The dudes in the
and
bunny suit are going to pop out some new, you know, Xeon, Quad, Monkey Code, whatever, but it's going to be wild.
And a speed bump.
But you know something? It's like Christmas, man. Just look forward to something under the tree, brother. Okay,
for me, it's Hanukkah.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
I get 8 days, okay?
Yeah.
Beat you. Just beat
I know.
You.
What's up with that 8 days of good?
I want all the holidays. I'll take Ramadan, Hanukkah, and Christmas. I'll take
it's
them
all cool. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Little Sammy Levin. Hey, we'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, now universal binary for all of your Mac computing needs. You can check them out at micromat.com. We're here with Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister, the host of the Digital Production Buzz, Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Hello, Philip. How are you today?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
Oh, very lovely. I'm out of Las Vegas, so I'm happy.
yeah, it must have been hot there this week.
Oh, my.
Speaking of hot, the really hot free giveaway from Footage Firm. That's footagefirm.com are giving away 77 broadcast quality stock footage clips of New York City, where I presume it's also very hot.
Oh, wow, nice. That's cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, ostensibly for being a Footage Firm customer, but I got this email and I've never actually bought anything from them. And you don't have to register or prove that you're a customer. So they're giving away, you know, 77 clips with it, nearly usually $40 each. So it's like a $3,000 giveaway. Happy summer.
I wonder if with digital video, if the way stock photos are sold, you know, like at iStockPhoto.com, if they'll ever be sold at that really low rate, if that's just a precursor to that, because right now stock video footage is actually pretty expensive.
It's expensive if you look at the absolute amount, but not if you then actually cost it against going to the location and shooting it yourself, you know, flying off to New York and doing a few aerial shots. That's going to be more than $39.95.
Yes.
So it's all relative. I mean, stock footage of Russia would be, you know, quite cheap by comparison with flying over there. In other minor news, Stone Design have bundled up some of their products, so you can get Imaginator, which is like a Photoshop on steroids, and Videator in a bundle. It'll save a couple hundred dollars over summer if you get their Stoneworks July 2007 edition, or 15 of their applications for just $399. It's a $200 saving.
Pretty nice.
Not to be sneezed at. But the real news this week is in camera gear. Camera gear. JVC updated their GY HD 100 to the GY HD 110, which is obviously 10 points better.
Wow.
10% more for the same 10% price.
10% more. What I was hoping that they would say is, yes, we've adopted the MPEG-2 encoder from our upcoming GY 250 and GY 200, but they didn't. In fact, they didn't say anything about the MPEG encoder. The reason I say that is because they claimed at NAB that the 200 and 250 encoder was twice as good as the one-year-old encoder in the GY HD 100. And, of course, this MPEG-2 encoder is the most important thing in the HDV format. The better we can make that encoder, the better we can make HDV. And that's where I expect to see a whole bunch of development. Indeed, as JVC said, the newer cameras are going to be twice as good as the camera that's a year old. Canon claim that their I'm going to start this campaign that we've got to call things like iPod. I mean, Apple really get it together, don't they? They know how to name products.
I know. It's a tongue twister to try to name off all these product names and keep them straight because they all have an HD or a GY or something or other in front of them. But Canon HDV is what you mean, right?
Yes. The XLH1 is what I actually was trying to get my tongue around. They are claiming that their MPEG-2 encoder is the best. But back to the HD 110 from JVC. New features. You can get simultaneous use of the eyepiece and the LCD finder when powered by an Anton battery system. Selectable mirror mode in flipping the LCD display so you can flip it around and it automatically swaps over. In truth, this is just really an incremental update. Nice things I like, though, is you get manual audio control when in full auto shooting mode. And you can use an audio limiter when you're in the manual mode.
Ooh, keep those production value high.
Yeah, well, those are the things that, you know, if you're in automatic shooting mode, there's things you do want to do, like, you know, not let that audio go over the maximum level. Digital levels are solid, hard. We clip if we get more than that.
That's true. They don't have soft analog, you know, limiters on the stuff. And, you know, but I thought all our bloggers wanted, you know, the rough look. I want my audio to sound
still,
like it ran into a brick
wall.
Still
bitter about that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. One of the things that we discovered on last Thursday night's show was we had Goodnight Burbank, and this is great. Check it out in iTunes. It's a fake news show called Goodnight Burbank. Search for it in the iTunes Music Store. And it's got quite high production values, and that's one of the things that makes it eminently watchable. And it's, you know, true. I think the quality will rise. Cream does rise unless you homogenate it.
Yeah, well, like you said, all the good stuff goes to the top, and where does the other stuff goes right to the bottom.
Exactly. And yep. On the 18th, what was that? That was Wednesday. Or Tuesday, even. Sony released those AVC HD camcorders that we've been talking about.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anything. Have you seen anybody in yet with any kind of, you know, testing or image quality or... You know, here's a thing. Let's say we go and run down and go to, you know, Best Buy and grab one of these things, right? How are you going to get the footage?
They're not going to ship for a little while yet, but...
Well, in theory, if they had it and I could go buy one, how am I going to get my footage now into Final Cut Studio, Final Cut Express, Final Cut anything, iMovie?
I think I smell an opportunity for somebody who might make some conversion tools.
Yeah, I think so.
Gee, who would that be?
Yeah, somebody who might want to justify going out and buying one of these for just $1,400 or $1,500.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I got involved in this whole HDV game in the first place.
I remember. That was at the Los Angeles Final Cut Pro user group meeting last November a year ago.
Yes, almost 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. So these are pretty cool. There's two models. One uses an 8-centimeter disc. I could translate that into non-metric, but I don't know how to. That's the small size DVD. And they will use a single or a dual layer, and it records this AVC H.264 long group of pictures, just like MPEG, just like used in HDV. And with the dual layer, you can get up to an hour recording time. Or the other model, and I'm not going to try and get my mouth around these model numbers. They're, again, stupid. HDR SR1, if you want, for the hard drive, will record up to 10 hours in long play mode onto a hard drive. But the problem, as Scott said, is you can't do very much with these. You can't bring them into Final Cut Pro. Sony do provide a player application for them with the cameras, but that only works on the Evil Empire. It's nothing for us Mac folk. I've got a feeling that QuickTime Player will probably play it. It is an H.264 signal, so it's probably not doing anything too naughty with the format.
Have you seen any of these files yet, Brad? Or?
No, because the cameras haven't shipped yet, so I haven't been able to get my hands on it yet. But, you know, maybe there'll be a product coming up if I can get something together, you know.
Yeah. I think that would be a fine addition to DVD XDV.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, you know? HDV XDV, yeah.
We'll see. I mean, it's really going to be, it's like, you know, we used to have one or two options for HD video a few years back. Now we have a plethora.
And, I mean,
it's like every single, you know, everybody's coming out with some kind of high-definition video camera from the high end to the low end, just about everywhere across the spectrum. The most interesting, of course, will be Red, I think, and
yes,
that's the one to really look for.
Yeah. Now, officially, this is a prosumer format, but, you know, like all prosumer formats, like old DV, it's going to end up in the professional edit suite sometime along the way, so we are going to have to find a way of dealing with this.
I'm just wondering, I mean, how good a compression can it do on the fly, because you're recording data at, in theory, at least 25.
Same issue as with the HDV. It's, you know, the encoder is all. If it's a good encoder, then it's going to do a good job. If it's a poor quality encoder, it's going to look like not good.
And I'm wondering what the H.264 codec in this new camera, is it using long GOP or how are they doing all this stuff? You know,
it's long GOP, just like MPEG-2 using HDV. It's probably a 15-frame long GOP.
Yippee.
Yippee.
We won't
so
take this to the basketball
profile
game. Hey, Philip, thank you so much. That was the digital production Buzzmeister, Philip Hodges. Like you said, you can check his show out Thursdays evening, 6 to 7 p.m. live on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com, or you can check out on iTunes, just checking Digital Production Buzz. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you've created some content, you want to pull it off your DVD and reuse it in iMovie, Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Studio, Final Cut Express, Avid Nitro System, Media Composer, doesn't matter. If it takes a QuickTime, This takes it off a DVD, turns it into a QuickTime. Cool stuff. You can check it out at www.dvdxdv.com. Right now, here with Andy Shallett with his graphic and cool tip of the week. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Great, Scott. Great. Been playing with that new MacBook all week and just finished another book. So I'm just sitting here thinking about design ideas. So I was thinking about how maybe a good quick tutorial for people who are doing ad layouts and logo design. I was thinking about how the best way to approach it. And a lot of people, you'll notice that when you see a lot of ads, sometimes they're confusing, sometimes there's too much information, sometimes there's too little. But one thing that on a good ad that always captures you is when you become part of it, when you have to solve some part of it. Sort of like it's like solving a puzzle. So the design tip of the week here is to try to design your ads or design your logos, for instance, as though you were designing a puzzle, so that the person who is watching it or reading it has to fill in one little answer. I'll give you a good example of a logo that is a great puzzle that you don't even think of as a puzzle. Think about the I Love New York logo. You know the one that says I Heart New York?
Yep.
Or I Heart Anything. Well, the heart is actually a puzzle. If you think about it, it's something that you are answering, saying, no, that's not heart, that means love, right? I say I love, but immediately in your head you thought of the heart. That's the same sort of thing. If you design in terms of puzzle, in terms of the interactivity of the reader or the user, it changes the whole thing and it becomes something much stronger than just a flat piece of paper. So if we were going to do it, what you do is you break up your logo or the add into the basic elements. You know, you've got the name of the company, the product, and the phrase, or something like that. You break it up. You take one of those elements, abstract that element. Take that at one of the elements, the core element. Maybe it's the verb in the phrase, and change it into an image, or invert it, or turn it upside down. And all of a sudden, it makes the viewer want to fill in a part of that. So that's how it works. That's my basic tip of the week for how to design a logo. What do you think of that?
I love that. It's so simple, but it's nice. It's just
of course,
keep
the genius of it is to find that one great image that you're going to use for that verb. You know, heart for love is great because it's so simple that you don't even think somebody designed it.
True, very true. So how are things going with I don't think we had a chance to talk about it last week, but, you're using the new MacBook and you do a lot of graphic and stuff. How's this performing, even though you have stuff with 2 gigs of RAM, but how's it doing with Photoshop through Rosetta?
It's fine as long as I have that 2 gigs of RAM, because the RAM is the key. You have to put RAM in these things.
So your old PowerBook was a 12-inch PowerBook, okay?
Yeah, the last one I was using was a little 12-inch G4, and I had 1 gig of RAM in there.
But how's the new MacBook with the Intel chip running Photoshop through Rosetta with 2 gigs of RAM compared to your old 12-inch PowerBook?
Okay, there it is. With the 2 gigs of RAM, it works fine. Anything less, no, it's about equal, head and head, maybe a little bit faster,
really?
I'd say.
Even under emulation, amazing.
Yes, under emulation, but that's because of the RAM, because it's got a different size screen. It's got much sharper, higher resolution, and it really has to build that. And you need to give the RAM, because that is, I think that they really should have just put an extra V chip in there, a VRAM chip, so that they wouldn't have to worry about this. But I guess they're saving money somehow.
Well, you got a difference between a MacBook and a MacBook Pro.
Do you have a black or a white one?
Oh, I have the black one, although I'll tell you
what,
get the white one and buy the chips and save yourself $150. That'll pay for the RAM right there.
Andy, thank you so much. What a great tip. There you go, Andrew Shallett. Check it out at shallett.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408 727-7577. My name is Bob Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approved, wrote, and produced this message.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MC Technology. So if you want to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, 160 gigabyte hard drive for your MacBook or MacBook Pro, an iPod, or 16X SuperDrive for your G5, check them out, mcetech.com. Right now, we're here with Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, regarding MCE, there is no dual-layer DVD burning device on a MacBook or MacBook Pro. MCE makes a Lucid drive. You plug it in, dual-layer DVD, 8 gig you can burn.
Oh, that's nice. That's DVD 9 format. Yeah.
That is a really big deal. So for all you folks that want to burn a lot of content, like Brad and like Scott, you've got to have a dual-layer. On the G5s, You can have that. Anyway, Cool Mac Picks, really, really cool stuff. Our friends at Smile on My Mac Software, that's exactly how the website's spelled, smileonmymac.com. They're based here in the Bay Area. These guys came from Apple, so they know the goods. They understand how to build products. They have a number of different utilities. They're really productivity-based for the Mac. I think most of them now are universal binary. But the two products of the four or six or seven or eight that they make is Disk Label and PDF Pen. Now, Disk Label is a product that lets you create your disk labels for your CDs, your DVDs, your DVD covers. How many of you folks make presents for your friends? iMovies. I do this all the time. Brad probably does a few of them, knowing that he's a video nut. And you want to give them, but you want to personalize it. They not only do that, but they tie into iLife. So iMovie, iTunes, all built in. You click on it, it brings up your catalog of iTunes. It reads your library. So if you got Brad birthday, it shows that playlist. It puts it into the format so it prints properly. There's templates that they supply you with. It is fantastic. It's $29.95, about $30. It's a great product called Disk Label. You've got to check it out today. And they've been revving this for the last umpteen years, and it's universal binary. Check it out today from Smile on My Mac. Also, PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro. How many of you guys want to create custom fillable forms for your PDFs, or you want to edit your PDFs, or you want to combine PDFs? PDF Pen does all of that and more. They make a pro version. It's actually double the price. It's $49.95 for PDF Pen and $94.95 for PDF Pen Pro, and allows you to edit anything on a PDF. So if you're sent a PDF and you go, oh my God, I want to combine Sam's PDF with my PDF and create my custom Brad PDF for whatever reason, you can now do this. You don't need to go buy, you know, Adobe Acrobat, even though still Acrobat's great and does other things. You don't need to go and spend that extra money. You can do this for under $50. If you want fillable PDFs, though, to create your own fillable forms in PDF, you have to bump up to the PDF Pen product, PDF Pen Pro, that is. They make a number of different things from Smile on My Mac. I really dig these guys. They come from Apple. They understand how the OS works. They're really nice guys. We had them on a little bit ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
And Greg Scowen and his posse create really cool stuff. You've got to check it out, smileonmymac.com. What else do we have? We've got a number of things in the works. I'm waiting to get our stuff from Extreme Mac and Griffin for Scott and Brad, which are the devices that let you plug in your iPod to view on the TV.
Oh, nice.
This is the hottest new thing coming. So you can. So stay tuned for really cool stuff in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I've been saying that for about 2 months now.
Two more weeks.
Hey, Sammy, thank you so much.
You got it. See you soon.
Great stuff there. Sam Levin with his cool Mac picture, listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next here up, we're going to talk about a very cool productivity application for your Mac by Market Circle. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac
with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, the number one publication for photography, digital photography, anywhere on the web or in print. Check them out at popphoto.com. Right now, we have a very cool, interesting guest. We have AJ from Market Circle, and we're going to talk about their very cool application that lets you be productive at work. This is daylight. AJ, how you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
Good. So give our listeners a background, Market Circle. Let's talk about what is daylight. You're up to version 3.1 now.
That's right.
This thing has grown over the years. This thing's getting very mature piece of software. Tell us about all the cool stuff and what actually daylight is.
Well, that's a very good question. What daylight is an application that is designed for small businesses to help them be organized, save time, and to be competitive. And what that means is really it's a group work kind of application. We have mail integration, we have shared calendars, we have meetings, we have shared tasks, shared projects, shared opportunities, shared notes, etc. We have cool features such as delegation, so you can delegate something to someone and keep track of what you've delegated and, you know, go and lay some smack down if they don't do their stuff. and so it's an app that you know, is really meant to take a small business and help it grow.
Now, I did take a look at this in the website. I haven't used the software, but it has several different components in it. Can you tell us about how the components all work together?
Okay, so I'll talk to you about the calendar, which is a component that a lot of people have interest in. So we have a calendar, and it's, you know, if you think of a calendar, you can think of iCal, for example, as a basic calendar. Where we're a little bit different is that we allow shared calendars amongst users. So you can, for example, have everybody has their own calendar, right, and their own schedule. So you can then go to Daylight, create a smart list of the users that you're interested in, and look at their calendars simultaneously, one on top of the other. So you can check out for empty spaces to create a meeting, or, you know, you just want to see how busy everybody is or not busy everybody is. And then what you can do is you can then schedule a meeting amongst users. So you can, say you want to do an update meeting, for example, with three or four or five of your colleagues. You can set that up. They can accept or reject the meeting. You can suggest rescheduling, etc. So in that way, in terms of your time management, it's a good little tool for a small work group. Then we have things such as, for example, shared tasks. So you have, once again, everybody has their tasks that they need to do. And you have yours, and you can also share yours. So, for example, if you set your task as a public task, then anybody else can look at it and see how you're doing instead of having to ask you, well, how far are you on that? They can just go and check that particular element. In the same vein, we have projects, we have opportunities, we have notes, we have groups, we have contacts, and we have organizations. And all these things can be interlinked in various different ways. So, for example, with a project, you can link a contact and define what role they're playing. Are they the planner, the decision maker, the QA person, for example, right? Then the other thing is with the activities, the tasks, the notes, and the appointments, you can also link them to projects and people and fully create a full contextual element out of a task. So instead of saying, you know, I got to call Bob, well, call Bob about what? You can call Bob about that particular project or that particular opportunity. And in one click, you can see the whole detail of that project or opportunity. So, you can quickly recollect what you need to talk to Bob about. So these really cool features. Then we have mail integration with Apple Mail. So this is a really cool feature in that, you know, you're using Apple Mail. Apple Mail is a good interface. We figured, why the hell recreate mail? So instead of recreating a mail client within Daylight, we grafted ourselves onto Apple Mail. You can use Apple Mail along with all the benefits it has, such as threading, junk mail, etc., and HTML. And then automatically we show up a drawer next to inbound and outbound emails, and you can specify whether you want to link those emails both to the contacts and to the projects or opportunities in one fell swoop. You can also do letter merging within Apple Mail. So you can define letters in Daylight, letter templates, and then in Apple Mail you can select the contact, select the merge option, and right away create a merge letter right within the mail and send that mail out. And then you can also track that email because it'll be stored in Daylight. And unlike other email solutions, it's not a link to an email on your desktop. The actual email content is stored in the database, so anybody else can look at it as long as you've set up the permissions appropriately. So in a nutshell, those are the big modules of Daylight. We have a ton of other smaller features, but we won't talk about that right now.
So let's say I was a small business, and so I want to, let's say I'm in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could start out and define I want to create an ad for a customer.
Right.
I could start out in this project. And that would be like, let's say, for instance, I define a project, and I would define, I guess I can go out and with the software, define all the little pieces in the project,
mm-hmm.
and then divvy up the tasks to the various people within my organization.
Absolutely. And when you divvy up the tasks, you would probably delegate them, and they would get a notification that that task has been delegated to them. Then what you can do is you can look at the project. You'll see all the tasks that are linked to them and the appointments and the notes, etc. But let's talk about the tasks. And you can see who they're assigned to, who you delegated to, and you can also see whether they're done or not done.
And like, let's say, for instance, of course, if I've got contacts that come in all the way, then those would also, like, emails and phone numbers, and those would all be shared by the group of people within the organization.
That's exactly it. And if you have DMI, you can just quickly send out an email from Apple Mail and get the contacts out of Daylight, even if they're not in your address book.
Now, how does the sharing part of this work? Do I need to have servers and extra stuff like this? How do I share all the stuff that I'm using in Daylight with multiple people in our office if they're not on the same network? Let's say if it's a virtual application where I got one cat in New York, one guy in Arizona, one in Alaska, whatever. Mm-hmm. How do these guys share this information that's in the Market Circle database?
Okay, you could do it one of two ways. You can set up a server somewhere, and just set up the, your IP forwarding and port rules so that that database is available to those folks, because you don't want to open up to just anybody, right?
Right.
And then they can connect remotely. So that's one way, right? They can connect remotely. They launch their Daylight. They put the IP address of that server wherever you've put it, and they can connect to that database and work off of that, just like as if they're in the main office. Now, the other option is we have the possibility of creating offline databases. So let's say that you're a road warrior or you have intermittent network connection, right? I shouldn't say intermittent, but, it's not always
on. Dial-up, basically.
Yeah, and so you can go ahead and create an offline copy of the database. You need a high-speed connection for this. It doesn't work on dial-up, but you can create an offline copy of the database, work on it, and then synchronize every once in a while, and the entire database gets synchronized. So there's two ways of sharing that information, not within the local office, but outside of the local office.
So if I'm going to do an offline deal, I'm just going to upload the database from my said laptop up to a regular FTP, to just like a web server.
No. What you need to do is the database is an actual database server, right? It's actually OpenBase. I don't know if you know about OpenBase.
Yeah.
But it's an actual database server, so we have you need a machine that runs the database, and you connect to that machine. So it's not a file kind of thing.
Okay.
So that gives you full resilience. For example, you can you can be in the middle of a transaction and the power goes out, and a system like OpenBase will be able to fully recover from that without losing data. You can have up to 50, 60, 70, 80 people connected to this database without a problem.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so I mean, if you compare what Daylight does, we have a challenge in the Mac space in that we don't have a true competitor. And so it's really difficult for us to compare to anybody else. But if we compare to the PC side, there's a lot of apps that are like this, and they cost maybe $500, $600, $700, $800 a seat. And Daylight costs with the mail integration $189 a seat. So it's a real steal of a bargain. And on top of that, it's got a Mac UI, which means it's easier to use than those PC counterparts. We have features that blow away those things, but on the Mac side, we can't really compare to anybody else, and sometimes it's frustrating. We wish we had a good competitor.
Now, AJ, where do we get more information on this excellent application? People can find out more. You guys have a demo and all kinds of stuff. Where do they find out more about Market Circle and Daylight?
You go to www.marketcircle.com, MarketeCircle.com, and you can find out about the application. We got forums. We got knowledge bases. You can download a trial. You can try it out for 30 days for up to 50 users connected, included, and that includes the mail integration. So there's a lot to try and a lot of resources to pull from.
Hey, I really appreciate being with us today. This is cool stuff.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, AJ. Great. What
Thank
an excellent
you.
Application.
Bye-bye.
Cool.
Yeah,
get that little
stuff.
Server hooked
very,
up.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it's a good collaboration device. So, hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by American Photo Magazine. American Photo, a very cool, great publication for the high-end professional photographer. You can check it out at AmericanPhoto.com, or you can just cruise on over to PopPhoto.com. Great stuff there. Brad, how you doing?
Oh, doing great. Just, things are going great. I'm going to be going down in L.A. For the Final Cut Pro Users Group next week. So that'll be fun. I don't know if you're going. Are you signed up for to go next week?
I don't know if I'm going to go or not.
Still up in the air. I know you got to go down to Hollywood and talk to some cats. That's
I do. I need to go back down and deal with some stuff over at one of the television stations there. But don't know if I'm going to go next week or not.
Yeah.
I might.
Oh, it's going to be hot down there. You're going to be out of the, it's hot up here. Actually, probably the coldest spot in the entire United States is probably San Francisco right now.
Yeah,
and it is. It's hot everywhere. It's brutal, but we had a pretty good show so far. There's some good stuff going on.
Yeah, the stuff with the whole thing with Daylight and Market Circle is it's a pretty cool app.
Yeah, I think it's not for everybody. It's definitely for people that are thinking about trying to run their organization a little bit better and organize their contacts. It looks like a really great thing. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to touch on is that it also has a reporting feature and a mail merge feature, which allows you to create mailing labels, memos, and reports and whatnot. So it's a pretty nice little application.
Yeah, like you said, it takes a lot of discipline and work to get something like that up and running and to originally use the stuff and be able to share your work and collaborate with other people on your team.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's any team. Any organization, to try to get them all to work together is always a challenge. It's like...
Yeah, sometimes you're better off just throwing a grenade in the room and running off.
There you go. Just nuke them all.
But, hey, it is a cool software. It's pretty neat stuff, so...
Yeah.
And we're going to have more productivity software coming up later. We're going to have the guys on from FileMaker.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of movies actually are made with FileMaker applications. The funny thing about when you go out and you create a film, you have to organize all these little elements of the film coming from the actual daily reel, the sound elements and all of that. So a lot of FileMaker is a very strong application in Hollywood. You see a lot of it being used out there.
And they're up to a new version, 8.5 now.
And finally, Universal.
Yeah.
So it should be really good. I'm going to be looking forward to checking this one out. The other thing we got going on is we got Michael Butler, the Rock and Roll Geek.
Yeah. So he's going to come on and talk about how he's using the Macintosh to produce the Rock and Roll Geek show. They're doing some video stuff now, I think.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool.
And he's part of the whole PodSafe network. So he's
with Curry and those guys over at PodShow.
Yeah, just like down the street.
Yeah, they're right up the street here. So that's going to be pretty cool. So Michael's going to be calling him that. We're going to have Dino Orlando talking about the Mac Week in Review with all the news and what's been going on and, you know, Apple stock shooting through the roof. And
I know. 12% in one day. I was just kicking myself for not buying in the day before.
Yeah, me too. Trust me. And my Disney's dropping.
Come on. They have Pirates of the Caribbean. They're doing great. You know, Disney's solid.
Yeah, it's the number one grossing film ever.
Yeah, period.
Still.
Yeah.
I think last weekend they did like $70 million.
Oh, yeah.
On week two or week three or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, yes.
And Cars are still cranking out cash like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
But for some reason, you know.
Yeah.
These broad black types, I don't know if they get it or what's up.
Oh, but, don't know. Make fun. Poor Rob Black. Rob Black is great.
No, Rob is great. But, you know, I think I think Rob would probably invest in Disney as a long-term hold.
Oh, yes.
As a solid, you know, Fortune 100. You know, it's a big type of, you know, anchor company.
Oh, yeah.
It's like buying GM or cigarette companies.
Yeah, they've got...
You're not going to go wrong with a car company, with Disney, with insurance and tobacco. I mean, you know, not a good mix probably, but they're
just don't
stable
do them all
core
at once.
Businesses. But hey, cool stuff there. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up, we're going to have more cool stuff on your Mac. We're going to have the Rock and Roll Geek Show with Michael Butler. We're going to have Dino Orlando. We're going to have Brett Kalman on from FileMaker talking about FileMaker 8.5 Pro. So you're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
To the Inside Mac Radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and we've had some cool stuff today. The Inside Mac Radio program is brought to you by Micromat, DVDXDV, MC Technologies, and our media partners, the Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz of Philip Hodgetts. You can find out more information about Inside Mac over at InsideMacRadio.com. You're here with Brad Wright and Scott Shepard. How are we doing, Brad?
Oh, we're doing great, Scott.
Yeah, we got some cool stuff. You know, earlier in the show, we had the guys on from Market Circle talking about Daylight, a very cool business productivity application. Sammy was on doing his cool Mac picks. Andy Shallert with his logo, Mac design out of the box tip of the week. Philip Hodges, all the hot production news going on with what's up in the world of posts. And I still want to talk more about this Longop MPEG H.264, though.
Oh, yeah, MPEG 4 H.264, yeah.
Yeah, but what's up with the Longop part of it? It's interesting.
Well, you know, that's just the packaging of it. You know, I mean, when you talk about what it stands for, is, and everybody gets this wrong, is a group of pictures. Effectively, what that means is that it's just a package. And when you talk about H.264, you talk about MPEG 2 or whatnot, they tend to want to kind of group the video together in these nice little packages of frames. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, a whole lot of anything, really. I mean, the biggest thing that affects your quality when you talk about video is really the bit rate and you know, the number of tricks that the codec can perform.
You know, what's interesting, I mean, is why
that's where that really comes down.
Why more people aren't using this, but the I think one of the governing organizations for standard adopted JPEG 2000 as a digital cinema format. We were talking with guys from Thompson Grass Valley, and their new Infinity camera uses JPEG 2000 as their format.
That's because they've got about 35 gigabytes of storage on the Rev drives that they use in those cameras.
You see the new Rev drives now, they're 75 gig.
That's really interesting because, you know, obviously the more storage we have, the more bit rate we can pump down the codec. So,
yeah.
I mean, we can basically create higher quality video. And JPEG 2000 is really nice. I mean, because, you know, you can work in much higher bit rates and much less compressed formats with better quality than you can with, basically any other codec out there. So, you know, for bang for the buck, it's very, very good. So it's a real
and solid. I think someone has adopted JPEG 2000 as the this motion JPEG stuff as
For the cinema standard.
For the cinema standard for digital cinematography.
Yeah, I mean, for distribution, what they're talking about is like, you know, distribution of films. You know, when you go to a movie theater, what's it, what are they doing now these days? Are they using just a, you know, are they running things through a film or do they actually have a video projector that's projecting the film? I find it's that, you know, the quality is getting so good that it's very difficult to tell whether you're looking at film now or you're looking at video. I mean, it really is. And obviously, you can tell when, of course, with the film breaks or when you get scratches or something or dirt in there, then you know you're looking at film. but you know, it's great because with this type of technology, it allows the print to stay pristine all the way through the run of the movie.
Right.
And so that's really the thing. It's like you're not going to get, you're going to go to a theater and you're going to watch a movie and it's going to look great on the first day, it's going to look as good as it will on the very last day before they pull it. So you don't get this degradation like you do with feature films. I mean, physical film, when it runs through that projector, it just gets scratched and nasty.
Yep. So.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, so there we go. Some more information on this new Sony camera, and it's using this ACH...
AV something something. I think I go with Philip. I'm like, what? It's a Sony H.264 camera.
Yeah, but basically that Kodak they're using, it was a co-developed between Panasonic, that's Matsuda, and Sony.
Yeah.
So Panasonic's going to have this on their camera too, and it's very interesting that they do that, and they have the P2 stuff too. So is the P2 stuff going to see this H.264?
Could be really interesting.
Or are they going to stay with the Are they going to stay with the DVC Pro Kodak at 100 megabit? I don't know. Interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll be surprised.
Isn't technology so lovely? Oh, well. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, Rock and Roll Geek Show.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Creator Pro, the place to go if you're a creative professional, want to learn tips and tricks on all kinds of great stuff. Go Live, Dreamweaver, InDesign, Photoshop, you name it, they got it all over there. Check them out, creatorpro.com. Right now we're here with Michael Butler from the Rock and Roll Geek Show. How you doing, Michael?
Good, Scott. How's it going? Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man, no problem. You guys were on a while back. Tell us how things are going over there at the Rock and Roll Geek Show. You guys are doing more stuff now, and you're using all Macs and all your stuff.
Yeah, the show's actually doing better than ever. I'm really surprised still going. I'd be doing it 2 years after. I'm almost at my two-year anniversary, yep, and it's all on a Mac. I don't even know how to turn on a PC, actually.
That's cool.
Right.
That's awesome. Now, give some background about you. I understand that you really were raised in a rock star family. I mean, your dad actually is a rock star.
My dad? No, my dad's not. I'm a musician.
Oh, you're a musician. I thought okay, that's a different story.
Geezer Butler?
Yeah.
No, I actually toured with Black Sabbath, though, and I got my picture taken with Geezer, and I made Christmas cards that said, welcome, or said, Merry Christmas from the Butlers with me and Geezer. Just as close as I am to having a rock star in the family.
But, oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm in a band, American Heartbreak, now, and we're doing well. Our record just came out. We're going to Japan in a month, and everything's going fine. The podcast actually started to promote the band and kind of evolved into its own thing.
Oh, wow. No, that's really quite great.
Yeah.
So what are the kind of things that, what's your typical way of producing your podcast? I mean, you start out in a studio. I mean, I think you started out in your own living room, and you've evolved it.
I do it. I have a little closet-sized studio I built in my house with a, I have a G5 that I run off of, and I use Ableton to put all my I have like 1,000 IDs from rock stars and stuff, so I put all those in Ableton and my show intro. So everything runs out of Ableton, and then I have like, I think I have the same mic as you guys. I have like an Electro Voice RE20.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And run out into a Marantz PMD 660.
Nice.
Sit in my right next to the master bathroom, and my wife can be taking a bath, and I'll be right next to her doing a podcast.
Cool. Yeah. It's handy to be able to work from home, though. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, it's fun. And who knew I would have quit my job, you know, less than a year after I started podcasting.
Yeah, that's cool stuff.
That's really good.
So have you guys got into actually playing with any video stuff yet, or we're just keeping everything to audio right now?
I just posted an American Heartbreak video. We had a world premiere that just came out, and I posted it on my feed, so... You know, it's doing stuff like that, and I will videotape like shows that we play, and I'll put like a song up on my feed. That's about as close to it as I get. I don't actually go out and do any video interviews at this point, but maybe in the future. I'm not much of a, for one thing, I'm not a good-looking guy, so it, you know, the audio. I know you guys can't relate to that because you're so gorgeous, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right. That's why we're on radio.
Right. But I listen to you guys' podcast all the time. I'm subscribed, so I love the show too.
Oh yeah, I like to listen to your show too as well. You got some new things you're talking about on the show now. You're talking about Rockstar Supernova, which is sort of the...
You watch that show?
No, I haven't. I was following a little bit. Well, I was following it with Rockstar in Excess.
Yeah. Actually, last year I went down and sat in on a taping and interviewed all the guys in NXS and interviewed all the contestants. This year, so far, I've interviewed everybody who's been evicted, and I'm trying to get them every time they come off, so I'll get those guys. And what I do is I play clips of the show, and you know, if you watch reality shows, you know how they're like a train wreck, and you'll sit there and yell at the television. So I yell at the audio portion of it, so we're kind of like heckling the TV together. It's been a really popular segment on the show, actually.
Yeah. But you also do a lot of things. You also get a chance to talk to a lot of and find some of these bands that are, you know, not well, very well known. And you also have a certain role at the Podshow Network, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm artist relations at the Podshow Music Network. I am in charge of getting artists signed up. And what I do is I'm trying to get big artists. There's a lot of good unsigned bands and, you know, singer-songwriters and stuff, but I'm trying to go for the big guys. So far I've gotten, we had Death Cab for Cutie is up there, They Might Be Giants, The Subways, Tom Waits is up there, Joe Strummer from The Clash, James Brown just came on the network, Yellow Card, No Effects, The Living End, the list goes on.
Didn't you say also Fall Out Boy?
Boy's up there, Panic in the Disco.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody's worrying about getting sued by the record labels for playing the music on a podcast. I'm trying to change that.
Wow, that's fantastic. What kind of things are you working on now these days? I mean, what's going to be coming up in upcoming shows?
Well, I'm covering Rockstar all summer long, and I'm going to be going down and interviewing some of those people some more. So I'm going to be doing that all summer, and I'm doing bonus episodes during the week. I just interviewed somebody from this band called The Dictators, which are like a legendary New York punk rock band. Just interviewed this band, The Living End. I've interviewed a lot of the Warped Tour bands. So I'm pretty much playing the rock and roll interviews during the week and covering Rockstar on the weekends. I do like 2 shows a week. Plus I have several other shows I produce as well.
That's great. Now, how's things going over with you being over at the Podshow now? Because you've been over there now, what, about 6 months?
Started in October. They just launched Podshow Plus, which has been a huge success. I had no idea. My numbers alone have probably like tripled. So,
really?
I think it's happening for most people. It's like, have you been on there, Scott?
No.
It's the whole social networking thing.
Yep.
It's like that, but it's for podcasters and listeners. So it's bringing them, the two together. It's pretty cool, actually. You should check it out, podshow.com.
Yeah,
and if you're
look
a podcaster, you can just upload your stuff, and they host it for free. So,
wow, pretty nice.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Those guys are doing good work over there. I know you guys have expanded, and there's just all kinds of stuff happening over there at Podshow.
Yeah, it's fun. I guess it's fun. Beats painting houses.
Yeah. So tell me about this trip. You were taking the band. You guys are going to Japan. That should be pretty wild.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've been in Japan before when I was in some major label bands. But, yeah, we're going for the first time with American Heartbreak in next month. This should be fun. Be good times. I got a lot of things I need to take care of in Japan, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Big business to take care of while I'm over there.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on with you guys and the whole pod show gig. And
how does Japan really they really dig classic rock? Huh? I mean, really, the sort of stuff that you guys are doing.
I think they dig everything that comes out of the United States. You know.
Yeah, what's the crowds like? I've heard that performing in Japan is way different than performing in the United States.
Last time I went over there, I was in this band called Exodus, and we were playing sold out theaters. So it's a little bit different this time. I'm going as we're going to be playing clubs. So I have a feeling it's still going to be pretty rocking, though. You know. And Scott, you have turned me on to some good podcasts too. I want to thank you for that.
Yeah.
What shows you listen to?
Oh, I have a ton in my list.
You turned me on to this show, Sparkle Tack, which I like a lot.
Oh, Sparkle Tack is cool.
Great
one here
show.
For the city, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did you turn me on to Yeast Radio, too? I love that show as well, Madge Weinstein.
And Madge's deal is cool. Then we got Geek Brief TV. She's part of your guys'
gig
now.
Yeah, she's a pod show. She's huge, too. She's like up there with Rocket Boom in popularity, I think.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah, and I know your show is like probably one of the most popular ones out there. I heard.
It gets a lot of downloads, yeah. It eats up bandwidth like there's no tomorrow.
There you go.
That's all that matters, right? If you can nuke a server, you're doing good.
Yeah, and you're having fun doing what you're doing. That's what it's all about.
You know, it's all cool, buddy. Hey, how do we find out more information about the Rock and Roll Geek Show?
Go to rockandrollgeek.com. Easy as that.
Hey, Michael, thanks so much. Be safe in Japan, brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Scott. I'll talk to you later.
They just do such a cool show, you know.
Oh, he is. It's a great show. If you're into rock and roll, you got to check this thing out.
Yeah, Michael jams, you know. They do some heavy stuff. It's great. Cool stuff. Hey, thanks, Michael. You're listening to Inside Mac Radio Program. Next up, Dino Orlando.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Mac Update. If you have a Macintosh, and if you do, you probably listen to this show, you want to update your software, keep it up to date, so you have all the cool latest fixes, upgrades. Well, the place to go is Mac Update. You can check them out at macupdate.com. Right now, here with Dino Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Daily News program. Hello, Dino. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
Good. So tell us some of the cool stuff that's been going on in the land of Mac this past week.
Certainly. Well, the big news was the Apple reporting of their financial gain. I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday. They announced its financial results for the third quarter and said that it's their second highest quarterly sales and earnings in Apple's history. The company posted revenue of $4.37 billion and net quarterly profit of $472 million, which isn't too bad, huh?
I'll take it. I'd love to be doing those numbers.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Apple shipped over 1 million Macs and over 8 million iPods during the quarter, which represented a 12% growth in Macs and 32% growth in iPods over the year-ago quarter. Revenue grew in America by 27%, in Europe by 22%, and in Japan by 13%. So, and since Apple reported those results, shares of Apple went up over 11%. And they're favored by Citigroup. In fact, they're telling clients they should still invest in Apple shares. Analysts are expecting Apple to generate revenue of $22.2 billion on iPod and Mac sales in 2007. And 2008, they see the company generating $24.4 billion on iPod and Mac sales. And Citigroup isn't the only investment group that favors Apple shares. The analysts for UBS Investment Research have also raised their price target on shares to $80 and continue a buy rating on the stock. And even though Mac and iPod sales are weaker than expected in the company's other categories, such as music, accessories, and software, investors should be happy with Apple because iPod and Mac sales carry more value than just their accessories. So,
yeah, really interesting. I mean, they actually increased their U.S. market share to 4.8%. And remember, they were like under 3% you know, of just a few years ago.
And everyone was saying up to that point, oh, they're not going to do well. They're going to post
the
these terrible numbers, and here we go.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
Could have made 12% in one day. That was huge.
This is another one that's really cool about podcasting. Every time I keep telling you about more and more companies, including podcasting, according to this, companies who don't adopt
podcasting.
Thank you. I don't know why.
I'll just fill in the words.
I need to go back to school, I think. Anyway, they're becoming irrelevant in an article on podcastingnews.com. A new report from an interactive marketing and technology services firm called Avenue A Razorfish stated that companies' intranets need to add blogging and podcasting. It claims that today's employees expect and demand the same website experiences at work that they receive at home. The article states that according to a new corporate intranet's best practices report, which is a user-driven web-based perspective, the five consumer web ideas are auctions, podcasting, social search, audience rankings, and blogging. We're well aware of the companies that are taking this into consideration: real estate companies, art museums, PR firms, and just recently the American Institute of Architects. That just happened yesterday, according to Podcasting News. They're including podcast services that offer everything from the best way to sell homes to learning more about Van Gogh and to interviews with industry leaders. Podcasting is huge and is continuing to grow. Every day I read more and more about this. It's amazing. Good stuff for podcasting. And
it is pretty amazing. Just like sort of the internet, it's going through that growth phase of like when websites first came onto the scene. Now almost everybody's jumping into podcasting because it's a new way of distributing your message.
Yeah, and basically every day there's a new company adding podcasting. It's crazy.
It's incredible.
And Absolute Software has released LoJack for Macs this week. This is really cool. Oh, well, I'll have to come back to that later.
Yeah, we'll save that for the next segment here.
All
You're
right.
here with Dean Orlando. We're talking about the hot news stories of the week in the Lando Mac. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. If you need something printed, business cards, flyers, these guys are real ink on paper offset printers. Send them any kind of file, they will make it work. Very cool stuff. Check them out, printingforless.com. We're here with Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute daily news program, and she's got some more stories here of some interesting things in the Lando Mac this week.
Yeah, as I was stating before the break, I was talking about LoJacks. LoJack release for Macs this week to protect your Macs from being stolen. If your laptop does get stolen, it'll be easy to find, because the way this works is the security tracking solution locates and recovers lost or stolen computers. For example, if your computer has been lost or stolen, the Computrans LoJack will contact Absolute's monitoring center when the computer connects to the internet, and then the embedded software then provides stolen computer's IP address and other networking information to Absolute's theft recovery team, which will work to local law enforcement to identify its physical location and recover the computer. If a stolen laptop isn't recovered within 30 days, you get a refund, so it works out pretty well. It seems like laptops are being stolen all the time. I used to work in Milpitas, and there'd be signs all over the place saying, don't leave your laptops in your car, you know, hide them if you're going to go into the stores and stuff. So it's huge. I keep mine at home.
Yeah, there you go. Safe and locked away.
I keep mine on my back.
Yeah, all the time.
With a Glock right next to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a lot of people will benefit from that. The last story I found, I thought this was hilarious.
This is my favorite one.
Yeah, we talked about it on the break. I just thought it was hilarious. From high tech to no tech, basically. Justin Timberlake, the ex-Mouseketeer, is finding it difficult to download music onto his iPod, so he has his cousin do it for him. It's not because it's too hard for him to understand, so he says. It's that he's lazy. He feels that it's already too much for him that he has to shave. So why does he have to worry about downloading his iPod? I just thought that
what
was
a loser.
No, I think this is great because you know how they always say you want to make things idiot-proof, but then they go ahead and build a better idiot. You know?
That's for sure.
And there you go. It's the perfect example. You know, you just can't make it idiot-proof. It's just you've just found the idiot that just defeats the idiot-proofness of it.
I just found it so hilarious. I mean, he's supposedly this huge pop star, and that you know he does all this music. You'd think he'd be way into all this.
Well, he can't even take off a jacket without a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
You know? I mean.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, oh, that's a story. That's right.
He's a brilliant guy. Yeah, maybe he's just a genius and he just wants to hide, you know. Maybe he's just very, very smart and he just doesn't want people to think how brilliant it is.
You know?
I don't know.
I don't think he's that brilliant at all. He's a big, lazy, rich guy.
Giving him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Fine.
What a loser.
It'd be sad if he actually listens to the show and we're trashing him.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not we're trying to trash the cat. But
he can't listen to the show because he can't even get it off of his iTunes.
There you go.
It's probably not a bad idea. If I had some cat that would just deal with all my, you know, media management and just say, here, it's all updated and cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That sounds like a job for somebody.
Yeah. But, like, you know, I mean, wouldn't you need, like, a personal assistant for, I mean, iTunes is so easy. Like, if you can't master that, how many other things could you not master in your life?
Well, think about it, though, okay? You're in your office with your pad, and you got a helper that does this stuff, and you walk out, there's an iPod sitting there, and it's updated, it's got new tunes on it all the time, and when you're done, you just pitch it in the corner or whatever, and said little helper, fix it, charges it, puts new stuff on it.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But the whole fun is doing it yourself, picking the music that you like. If you have someone else do it for you, they're going to pick stuff that you might not like anyway, and then it won't be that fun at all.
So I guess Justin wouldn't like an iPod full of Maiden and Exodus. You know, bummer.
He might.
You never know.
That or like, you know, baby Mozart or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Baby Mozart.
Or baby Huey. You never know. Dina, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys.
There you go. Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute daily news program. Check it out at InsideMacRadio.com or just cruise on over to iTunes and pick it up. We'll be right back.
Feels like to be a hero every day. You can make a difference in the Coast Guard. Search and rescue, saving lives. Your answer in the call. It's a job that matters.
Join the Coast Guard or Coast Guard Reserve. Save lives. Stop drugs. Protect the environment. Call toll-free 1-877-NOW-USCG. The Coast Guard. Jobs that matter.
Imagine what it feels like. You can do it all. Coast Guard. Jobs that matter.
Call toll-free 1-877-NOW-USCG. The Coast Guard. Jobs that matter.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check out all the cool news in the production post-production world over at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we're here with Rick Kelman. He is the product manager for FileMaker, and we're going to talk about FileMaker Pro 8.5. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I am doing fine. How are you?
Very good. So you guys have FileMaker 8.5 out now.
Yes, we do. We just launched that on the 10th of July.
Yeah, so this is fresh, right off the press. Now, tell us, I guess, there's so much cool new stuff in 8.5, but I guess the big thing is this universal binary now.
Yes, we are one of the first significant professional business applications to come out on Universal, and of course, what that means is speed. We're pretty conservative, and we've done some measures, and we say that we're up to 90% faster, but we're getting a lot of information anecdotally from our customers who are deploying on the new Intel-based Macs that it's much faster even than that.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. Now, let's touch on a couple of things. And there's another thing, too, now, is you have this built in with Pro 8.5, FileMaker Pro 8.5, a new web component. Let's talk about, I mean, there's so much cool stuff, but let's talk about this whole web component now, because now it makes it easy to collaborate with other people.
Yes, so we have a new control that we call the Web Viewer, and essentially it allows you to add and integrate web resources right into your FileMaker solution. And so we've done a couple of things. We've made it really easy for someone who maybe doesn't realize how to put together a query string to search something like Google or MapQuest or FedEx. So we've built in some functionality where you can just choose those resources, Google Search, Google Maps, MapQuest, FedEx, all the Wikipedia resources, point to the fields in your database, and then automatically query those resources integrated right into your FileMaker solution. And essentially, this feature allows you to take the data in your database and dynamically drive the resources on the web. So imagine that you have a customer database with your customer address, and for every customer that on a record in your database that you scroll to, you have their address. If your customer ever changes their address, the Google Map or MapQuest map automatically updates based on the data in your database. It's a pretty cool feature.
So you can kind of tie these two applications together. You can tie the web into FileMaker Pro now and be able to update data dynamically and pull it down and stick it into a field into FileMaker.
Yeah, so essentially it's an object, and it's really hard, especially on the Mac side, to even tell where the web viewer ends and where your data begins because it's integrated that closely. You could certainly put a frame around it, but essentially we pull those resources, and indeed you're viewing them there. For instance, let's say you had that same customer, but this time you're tracking their web app. FedEx shipment, and you have a shipment number. All you have to do is place that shipment number in the field in your database, and it can dynamically search for that number at the FedEx website and show you instantly where that package is. And you can point that thing either to the standard web browser tracking interface, or even to the WAP and WML resources that are intended for cell phone browsers, and that will work just as well in the FileMaker database. So it's a very flexible tool.
Yeah, this is cool stuff here. Tell us some other neat features of Pro 8.5.
Well, we've also created a new learning center. We've created 29 QuickTime videos that cover all aspects of what a new user would need to know about databases in general and about FileMaker, all the things from creating fields, creating layouts, how to do scripts, to how to create reports. And then we've also tied those to additional resources for the more advanced and intermediate users and community resources, and that's all accessible from the help menu in FileMaker Pro now.
Wow, this is so cool.
Yeah, also we have now Chinese traditional and Chinese simplified versions. So
ooh,
we'd like
nice.
To think that we've got an extra billion customers out there.
Yeah, that's really nice because that's a big potential market overseas. I mean, we just always think in terms of English, but Chinese and all of the very many of the Oriental languages are tough to get supported.
Yes, it's been quite a while. I think the last time we supported Chinese, what is that, FileMaker 4? But it's certainly, as everyone knows, is quite an emerging market, and we're pretty excited about having FileMaker 8.5 be available in China.
Tell me about FileMaker Pro 8.5 Advanced. Now, this even goes on top of the Pro stuff that has even more cool stuff in it.
Yeah, so essentially FileMaker Pro 8.5 Advanced is for the more advanced FileMaker user, and essentially this is a tool that has everything that FileMaker Pro has, but it also has tools that allow the more advanced user to debug their solutions, things like the ability to debug scripts, to look at something in what's called a data viewer so that you can see what your calculations are doing. It allows you to customize FileMaker even that much more so. For instance, you can create your own custom functions. You can create custom menu sets and build solutions that have your own menues. And also there's a royalty-free runtime engine that allows you to create solutions and then deploy those solutions in a runtime. That person can run your solution, but they can't create a new FileMaker database. But now, it's a cool way to distribute.
Now, FileMaker, I mean, people are thinking of FileMaker as being just primarily something that's targeted for developers. But if you're an end user, What kind of things have, like, why would I, because I know there's, I mean, kind of where I'm going with this is because there's a lot of applications that are, that basically use FileMaker as a backend. And
yes.
So, yeah.
FileMaker is a really interesting product because, of course, it's a database. But, however, it's also a database is just sort of the starting point because it's also a tool that allows you to very easily, without having to be a developer, without having to have any specialized training, incorporate your own business rules into your solution, and then on top of that, to build your own interface for your solution so that it can look like you want it to look. It can have the business rules and interaction that you decide. It can store your data, and at any time, you as your business rules and your business change, and we all know this happens all the time, is someone will pay for a developer to create a solution, and by the time it's done, the rules have changed, and then it's a constant catch-up game. FileMaker is the kind of tool where immediately you can make those changes, and you know you don't have to compile it. You can do it yourself. You don't have to rely on developers. Certainly, someone who is a very experienced and sophisticated developer can create some phenomenal solutions with FileMaker. But it's also very accessible to the new user.
But you can also buy third-party applications which are based around FileMaker.
Certainly, yes. There are hundreds of third-party applications available for FileMaker. If you go into the FileMaker website and just look under third-party applications, there's hundreds of those. There's plugins that extend the functionality of FileMaker. We have a pretty dynamic developer community as well, so it's a nice ecosystem.
Now, tell me if we want to put, you know, someone wants to take and they've developed a really cool database in FileMaker Pro 8.5, and they want to be able to share this between people within the work group, but not in the same location. Do they need FileMaker Server, or can you take some of the component stuff with just FileMaker Pro itself and somehow put these files on the web, or how does all this work, or do you really need a dedicated server if you're going to do this kind of stuff?
Well, if you're really going to take so there's a number of things with FileMaker Pro, just the client itself in a work group on a LAN. We have something called peer-to-peer sharing, and you simply turn that on, and anyone else with FileMaker can access the solution you're working on. So you can share it among your peers. Secondly, if you wanted to go out to a wide area network, say a corporate extranet, or if you wanted to go out to the web, that's where you would use something like FileMaker Server Advanced, and there's a couple of things you can do. One is you can do custom web publishing with XML and XSLT and PHP to build a custom website which is tied into your FileMaker solution. Essentially, you have a website that's backed up with the data in your web, and at the same time, you may have people in the back end interacting with the FileMaker solution. Or we also have an option called Instant Web Publishing, where you take your FileMaker solution, you put it onto the FileMaker Server Advanced server. You can still access it from your desktop. It's just, you know, through FileMaker Pro client, by enabling instant web publishing, anyone with a web browser that you give access to that can navigate to that solution, and it looks incredibly like FileMaker Pro itself, including the scripting and the navigation, yet it's all through sort of the thin client of a web browser.
Wow. Hey, Rick, where do we find out more information about FileMaker, about the new stuff with 8.5 server? There's even FileMaker Mobile, all the cool stuff you guys are up to.
You would go to www.filemaker.com. We've completely revamped our website when we launched 8.5, and you can get all of the information on the entire product family. And also I'd like to mention that not only does FileMaker Pro and FileMaker Pro 8.5 Advanced go universal, but also the Server and Server Advanced. So the entire product line is now universal.
Hey, Rick, thank you so much. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. Personal Journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation.
From your livelihood to the way you live, today's journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including personal journal, for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OSX FAQ, the source to go for everything Mac OS X. If you want information on the Apple Developer Connection, cool stuff with the Apple Database News, stuff for Mac Minute, Mac Update, your software, cool ticks and trips, and cool stuff for your Mac OS X. Got a full set of forums with about 15,000 articles there online. Check it out, osxfaq.com. So yeah, the whole FileMaker deal is pretty cool.
Good application. Yeah, it's very, very cool.
What do you do? Do you, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you can use FileMaker for what you can use Daylight. And Daylight sort of will do what FileMaker will do.
Well, not really. I mean, FileMaker is a massive,
it's
very
a real database.
Massively flexible application that can, I mean, well, that database plus the application side of it. You know, database is sort of the back end. You know, it's how the files are all stored and put together in the, you know, what they call, you know, the basically it's not the part that you see. The application is more of the part that you see. And so FileMaker combines both of those together, and it has a very visual sort of user interface where you can draw and sort of change things very easily, like you'd expect on a Mac. And so it is a very good, it's a very good program, and it's also adopted by lots and lots of people just that need to whip out something custom, you know, used extensively.
It's easy to build a custom app in FileMaker.
Oh, yeah. It's used extensively in the music industry. I mean, in the movie industry.
Movie stuff. A lot of professional people, attorneys, people. There's a lot of developers out there that are, and you know, that's something we didn't even get a chance to touch on with him, is the FileMaker Developers Conference is coming up in August here.
Yeah.
So we should look at that, because, you know, if you're into the whole FileMaker deal, this is something you really need to, you know, look at, because they do heavy support. Plus, it's, you know, now it's dual binary. It runs on Mac or PC. So a lot of guys out there that actually develop on FileMaker to write these custom applications.
Yeah. Yeah, they make a business out of selling not just, you know, not obviously not FileMaker, but they create a solution or an application for somebody, and they sell that. And so they can create something very flexible. If the customer needs it, you know, to be changed or modified in one way, they can do it very fast.
And this is going to be in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, yeah. In August. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a little humidity.
Bring it on.
Fun. A couple tornadoes, hurricane, come on.
Yeah, bro. Come on. Heat, hurricanes, and this, you know, high humidity.
So that's cool. That's coming up in Orlando. So you can check that out. Just go to FileMaker.com. There's a thing on the bottom right-hand side of the page for the developer conference. But it is a cool application. And
yeah.
If you're really into, you know, information.
Yes.
Information, yes.
Information. You saw The Prisoner. I love that show. It's the information. That's the show that was developed in Britain by Patrick McGoohan many years ago, where they, you know, they want information from him.
Right.
Yeah. Great stuff.
It is cool. So, hey, that was cool. And the rest of our guests of the Inside Mac Radio program were great today. We had Philip Hodges doing the weekly post and pre-post production news. Andy Shout with his tip of the day. Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks. We had AJ from Market Circle talking about Daylight, brand new version of that, another cool productivity application suite for the Mac. We had Michael Butler on from the Rock and Roll Geek Show talking about their stuff, his old work with the Sabbath and Exodus, and going to Japan to play with his band, all the stuff's going over there with Curry and those guys at Pod Show. So that's cool. Dean Orlando was here, doing a little wrap-up of the weekly Macintosh news. That was cool. Of course, we just had Rick Kelman on from FileMaker talking about FileMaker Pro 8.5. And, of course, the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, DVD-XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find all this information and more over at www.insidemacradio.com. I've been Scott Shepard.
I'm Brad Wright.
And you've been listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Stay tuned for more great stuff next week on our super broadcast program, and of course all during the week with the Inside Mac Daily Show. www.insidemacradio.com. We'll talk to you all next week.